about what I want to talk about this morning. So go and play that video, bro.
This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering. There's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away. Every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace. In heaven, in heaven, I'm going home where the streets are golden. Every chain is broken. Oh, I wanna go. Oh, I wanna go home where every fear.
Christians, we're going home. We've all seen The Wizard of Oz. Has anybody not seen the movie Wizard of Oz? Anybody never not seen it? Peyton's not seen it. You don't allow it in your house, what you said? Oh, you don't like the movie? Oh. Well, if you remember The Wizard of Oz, little Dorothy was young, and she thought her happiness was somewhere else. And she thought if she could go out there, she'd find all of her dreams come true. And so, as you know the story, the tornado came and knocked her unconscious. She goes on this little journey. And the whole time she's on this journey, her whole goal was to get back home. Her whole journey. I want to go home. Can you get me back home? Can the wizard get me back home? Let's go see the great Wizard of Oz. I'm on the way to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Da, 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 da. She's so happy, dancing with a lion, a scarecrow, and a tin man. No wonder you don't let him see, you don't like it. She's on the way with a lion, a scarecrow, and a tin man to try to find an answer to get back home. Well, then, in the movie, of course, you've all seen, except Peyton says, not a big deal. He won't ruin it because he probably never will watch it. But anyway, at the end of the movie, she comes to herself, and she realizes, she told people around her, she goes, what I thought was out there that I thought would make me happy, I had it all right here. Home is where I wanted to be. I had everything I needed here. We have everything we need in this. Our home is in Jesus. Our home is in our covenant with God. Our home is in his presence. Our home is where he is at. Wherever God is at, that should be where our home is at. And so I'm thankful we have this hope and we have this promise of having a place beyond where we are now. Go to the next slide. I'm very big on acronyms. For some reason, I'm a nerd when it comes to acronyms. I like making things out of words. I don't know. So I thought about home. I began to write the word home down, and this is what the Lord gave me for this. The H, he died for you. We couldn't have a home unless he died for us, right? We didn't have no place to go. The O, he overcame death for you. Overcame death for you, which means that we no longer have an appointment with death. And what I mean by that, I know what everybody says. I hear it at every funeral. It's appointed for man wants to. I get to all that. I get it. I'm not talking about that kind of death. I'm not talking about our flesh giving up. I'm talking about Jesus overcame the power of death for you. We will never taste death because Jesus tasted death for every man. He tasted it. He partook of it. Because he died for you, because he overcame death for you, the M in home, he made all things new for you. Where we are now is not what we will always be. You know, it's our body. You know, you look at pictures. I mean, there are some of those folks that you run into that you haven't seen in 30 years. You don't have a clue who they are. You don't remember me, do you? Yeah. John? No. They have changed so much. You're like, oh, my gosh. After they walk away, you're telling your wife, bless their heart. That's what we say in the South. Bless their heart. You know what that means? They dog ugly. That's what it means in the South. Bless their heart. We just say it in a very nice, sweet way. Whereas the Yankees just say, man, what happened to you? We don't say it that way. We're a little more gentle. Bless their heart. They have changed so much. Go back and look in your high school annual and then look in the mirror. You'll be like, where did you go? I'm thankful God's going to make all things new. Yes. And that we're not going to be confined or limited to the pains of our body or the aging process of the sin nature. Our eyes will not grow dim. We won't have surgeries. We won't have issues. We won't be on oxygen tubes, and we won't be on ventilators, and we won't be going to doctor appointments, and all that'll be made new. All that'll be gone away. All that'll be restored because he overcame death and he made all things new for you. And then the E, now there's eternal life for you. Because he died for you, because he overcame death for you, because he made all things new for you, we now have eternal life for you. Eternal life, never pass away, never die, restored, all things new. This is the future hope of every Christian, is that there's more beyond what we see. And when I was by Gail's bed Friday, I had a lot of time to talk to him, just me and him in there for a long time, and I was talking to him, and I knew you could hear me, squeezed my hand a few times, and I said certain things. And I kept telling him, Gail, you're about to see the face of God. You're about to see him. And he's in this room with you, and he loves you, and you're his child. Don't be afraid, for you're about to see his face. And I said, all of us are just very shortly behind you. We're just shortly behind you. I know you might think, I ain't but 30 years old. You don't know how short behind him you are. You know, when I was 20 years younger than my parents, when I was 10, it might as well been 100 years. But you know what? I'm still 20 years behind my parents. And all of a sudden, that don't seem so far. You know, when you're a 10-year-old kid and your mama's 30, oh, she's old. But when you're 40 and mama's 60, hope I make it. I mean, really amazing how it changes. 20 years isn't much time. 30 years isn't much time. And I told Gail, we're all, brother, none of us are far behind you. And I told him, I said, you're about to see the face of God and rejoice and receive your reward. And when I said certain things, he would squeeze my hand. because he understood that he died for him. He understood that Christ overcame death. He understood all things are going to be new for him. He understood he had everlasting life. Home is where we're all heading. Home is where we want to be. How many of you, other than Melanie, go on vacation, but you're ready to come back home? You're gone for a while, but you're kind of ready to get back home. Now, Melanie's one that she's like, you know, it's okay, but it'll be there when I get there. But you got to understand, life can be stressful. When you get away, have a chance to get away, you want to stay away as long as you can. But there's something about come back home. You're like, okay, get back home, back by the routine, back in the comfort zone, see my dog, see my cat, you know, all that, whatever, see all that stuff. Coming back home. Something about home that brings comfort. But the Bible gives us a very clear scriptures of what home is for us. We're going to start in the book of Ephesians this morning. We've got three or four different scriptures I want to jump into. So we'll start in Ephesians chapter 2. There's no place like home. Chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 12. This is Paul writing. Says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Wouldn't that be a tragedy to have God in your life? But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made near or nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We now have a home together because of the blood of Jesus. We are now one family. Whether you like it or not, you can look around and say, I don't really like them. You're stuck with them because you're family. Whether you like it or not. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. We were once without hope. Paul was saying the Gentiles were without hope because they were outside of the Jewish covenant. But now the blood's brought them in too. The blood's brought all of us in, Jew and Gentile alike. The blood's brought every human in because of what he did at Calvary. And now we are part of the citizens of heaven and part of the household and the family of God. There's a home. We do not have to fear what happens next for us as believers. And I do believe this, and I know there are some that view it a little bit different. It doesn't really matter to me. I just know I'm going to not know either way. I'm just going to see God, so that's all that matters. But I do believe within myself that when our breath is gone here, 2:15 in the morning when Gail gave up his last breath at hospice house, that there was an immediate awareness of the presence of God for him. I truly believe what the word says, because nothing can separate us, even death, it says, from the love of God. It's in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul said in one place that to be absent from the body, right, to be present with the Lord. So I believe that. I don't believe there's this, you know, separation to where we're just, we have no state of consciousness and we're waiting on something. I truly believe we are in immediately the presence of God when our breath leaves our body. So I don't have to fear what happens next. I don't have to worry about, am I going to be alone? Am I going to be abandoned? Is there going to be a separation time before God gets me? What's all going to happen here? Because the blood of Jesus was shed. Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept. He rose from the dead, physically rose from the dead. The same body that was crucified was the same body that rose the third day. We too will have a physical, glorious resurrection, because death can't hold us. The grave can't keep us. It didn't keep Jesus, and it won't keep us, because we follow the pattern of Christ. Go to the next scripture, Brandon. This is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17 we'll start with. 1 Corinthians 15 and 17. It says this, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep, which means have died in Christ, they are perished. If we do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, Paul is saying we are still in our sins, and the ones that have died are perished. They're lost. That's why he says in the next verse, 19, in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. But it's not just in this life we have hope. It's in the life to come that we have hope.
It's in that next level we have true hope. It's in that next place we have hope to realize we're going to shed all of this pain and all of this stuff. Because when Gail had that stroke and I saw him in his condition, of course, the believers, we believe, hey, God, you can restore. We've seen it. Kevin Smithbacker had a stroke back. How many years was that ago, Kevin? Almost 15 years ago. Kevin had a stroke. Went to the hospital to see him. I was still at Walmart then. I just left Walmart, but he was still at Walmart, I think, at that time. And he had a stroke. And he lost some feeling on one side. His speech was slurred. And God, his speech ain't slurred no more. Can I get amen? Can I get a witness up in here? When I prayed for him, I should have said, Lord, heal his side, but keep this a little bit. I just prayed. God restored Kevin. And so we knew God could do that. But then once I began to see Gail and see where he was, and what you don't know about Gail is he suffered many things in his life. He had a heart attack at 35. He fought cancer two different times and overcame cancer. He had personal tragedy in his life. Lost two children. Lost a wife. He had a lot of tragedy in his life. And to see him laying there, not be able to move, not be able to talk. And if you remember Gail, he was so independent. He did everything. He was 86 years old, still working 5-6 days a week. He got in a car recently and went to Michigan on his own. His little Kia Soul. Lime green Kia Soul. 86-year-old. He used to plug his iPad in there for music. I mean, we ain't talking about no, what'd you say, Sonny? We ain't talking about that kind of old man. We talking about a hipster. I mean, he was something else. And to see him laying there in that condition, I by his bed one day, I was in there, I pray, I said, Lord, you know what's best for him. And God, do what's best for him, whatever that is. Because he would not want to live like that on and on. God took him home where the tears are gone, the pain is gone, the sorrow is gone, the heartache is gone, the heartbreak is gone. Of all the things he had suffered. And all of us have a different path, and all of us had different storms, and I know that. None of you have a worse case scenario than others, so to speak. It's bad to you, it's bad, period. And it means something to you. And to know now that he is home, and to know that what if this life was all that we had, and there was nothing beyond it? There was nothing better, that when you're 32 years old, that's the best it gets. Thank God it gets better. And I think that is why as we grow older, because I mean, our young folks, I mean, Ivy and Nathan and you know, probably Tanya, they don't think about things like this. They're too young, probably. But for people like my parents, my grandparents, Rodney, you know, we start thinking, we begin to sometimes begin to think about a little bit about, that's why it's called getting homesick. People say, that song, you know, I've never been this homesick before, right? Because I've never been this homesick before. Keep the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see the Father standing at the door. This world is a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance because I've never been this homesick before. How can we be homesick to a place we've never been? Because God puts a desire inside of us that there is that place. If we weren't, how can we be homesick for a place that doesn't exist? There's a reality to the kingdom of God. There's a truth to heaven. There's a desire he puts there because it's a real place, and he's preparing us to let go of this place, to embrace that place. He is transitioning us to lay it down here, to pick it up there. That's why there's a desire, especially for as the older you get, I'm ready to see God. I'm ready to see my mom, my dad. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to be out of this world. I'm ready because God transitions us for that reality of going home. And I'm thankful that we have that assurance in that place that we go. Next verse, verse 20. We have more than this life. Look what Paul says. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept, from them that died. For since by man came death, we know that through Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. A completely contrast. As all have died, because we are in death right now. From the day we're born, we begin to naturally die. Naturally. That's why we get older day by day by day. You may, like I said, look at a picture even 5 years ago, like, man, in 5 years, look how I've changed. Wow. Because of that death sentence from Adam. But Christ now, through the blood of Jesus, has made us alive. And now we have a place and a hope and a home that we will not stay confined where we are now. Why am I preaching this message? I know that, you know, most of us, like the old saying, you know, I'm prepared but not ready, right? I don't want to leave the earth today, but I'm thankful to know this truth, that when I do leave the earth, wow, what's waiting on me. Man, what God's got prepared for me. What God's got prepared for us. No more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, as Revelation 21 tells us. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus has paid the price for you. He died for you. He's made all things new for you, and now you can have eternal life no matter what this world brings. And I am thankful. Last scripture, I say the best for last. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Very familiar passage to many of you. Been in church very long. Thessalonians 4. Verse 13, Paul is trying to encourage his listeners about what is coming. Verse 13, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, them that have died, is what that means, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or died in Jesus will God bring with them. This means the ones that you have lost through death, they are not lost. They are alive, and you will see them again, and they will be restored, and there will be restored fellowship. That's what Paul says. The ones that have died, God's going to bring with him. They're not forgotten. They're not forsaken. They're not just a memory card. They are alive and for real and forever. And they're going to be a part of your life again when it's time. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Once again, it tells us there's going to be a people that are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And man, don't you want to be a part of that generation? Whenever that is, I want to be a part of that. God, I want to be alive and remain, and then you just change me where I'm at. The best visual I can give about what I think this is like that we can possibly wrap our minds around is Star Trek. I'm a huge, Mindy's like, what? I'm a huge Star Trek fan. Huge. The original series especially. I know it looks corny, but I love this. Yes. And when they go in that transporter room, it's called a transporter room, and it says energize. And what happens, all of their molecules and DNA dissolve from where they're at, and they reappear where they're going. Now, who said that? Somebody gasped. Isn't that cool? I mean, can you imagine? Wouldn't that? Melly would love traveling that way. We're at Sharon School Road. Beam me to Myrtle Beach. Here I am. Cool. Wow. You could really spook people out. Could be in Mom's kitchen one night. Hey, Mama. Can you imagine how cool that would be? Just thought I'd pop over. I believe in the spiritual realm, there is no boundary of, like we know, time and measurement. There's no boundaries. It's like that. And I believe that's when God calls our name, when God called Gail's name Friday night, it was like that, that where he was now energized and transformed to where he is now. There was an instant, whoosh, I'm here. I went from here to hear in an instant, in a moment, because of the blood of Jesus. Those of us that are alive and remain shall not prevent them, shall not precede them, are not more important than them which have already died. For the Lord himself, the Bible says, he ain't going to send no Peter, no Paul, no David, no Samson. It says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel, with the trump of God declaring, it is time. I am here right now. I'm calling your name. It's time to go home. It's time to get out of the shell. All things are now being restored. What was prophesied from old is now being fulfilled. What was that has now become this. What was then has now become now. What was past has now become present. What you've been waiting on has now become real. Yes, it is happening. The trump of God will sound, and the dead shall be raised. Next verse, please. The dead shall be in Christ, shall rise first. In other words, those that have gone on will be glorified, have glorified bodies. They're not just nowhere. And here's what people say. I used to hear this argument. Say, well, what if you were cremated? You ain't got no body. People, please. Gee, that stumps God, doesn't it? Well, what do I do with this? I think he made man from dust, didn't he? Know what the Bible says? He picked up dust. Sorry. That's a joke from Wednesday night. You should have been here. Picked up dust. And he did what? Something. Anyway, D sung that song. Anyway, he created us from dust. And by the way, the Bible speaks about there's one body. I did mention this a while back. There's one body that differs from another. Understand, the body we're going to have glorified looks nothing like Bill. I know you think Bill's cute. She said amen. I know she thinks Bill is cute. That's her man. That's her honey bunny. But our glorified bodies will look nothing like what we see today. Well, how will I know who Gail Finch is? Because I remember him looking like that picture I saw on the screen. That's exactly right. You'll know by here. You'll know who people are. Think about this. Those that have gone on, whether they're in the ground or their mortal body is, you know, it's a skeleton laying there because of years of being there, whether they're cremated, it's a vase full of, none of that matters. Here's what matters. Their name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so when their name is called, and when the Lord shall descend, and we shall receive our glorified bodies, the millennial kingdom, we're not going to be forgotten. They'll call out those names of the ones that's gone on before us. Gail Finch, come forth. James Roy Minton, come forth. Beulah, come forth. They will call those names. They are not forgotten. They are not somewhere, you know, distant. They are with the Lord. And when that time comes for the millennial kingdom to be established, they will be a part of that movement. They will be a part of that time that happens. This is good news for us. The dead in Christ shall rise. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So those of us, this tells me, church, that everyone is not going to go by the way of the grave. There's going to be a people that are caught up, because there's got to be a time God steps in, right, and says it's time. There's got to be a time. And when that time comes, we will be transcended, we will be transformed, we will be, you know, the word rapture is actually not in the Bible, but the word rapture means to be caught up. It's where they get that word rapture. It means to be caught up. We are going to be caught up in the presence of God. What a glorious thing to know he's going to call my name. That one day I'm going to hear the trump sound for me. I'm going to see him coming for me. I'm going to see his hand reaching out to me. I'm going to hear his voice calling my name. When no other voices even matter. When I block out everybody else and I hear God's voice, son, it's time to come home. Come receive your reward. No greater voice than that. Verse 18. comfort one another with these words. We are to encourage one another with these words. That, hey, there's a better, brighter hope for you than what you have here. You keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. You keep your eyes on the prize. Remember what Paul says, that I fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But not just for me, but to all of them who love his appearing. Man, there's a crown waiting on us when it's our time. So I can endure hardships. I can endure storms because I know where I'm going. And I know that none of this really matters, really, because it's all going to pass away. We live our lives so stressed over everything. And I know I'm preaching to me today because I'm wired tight. And I know that I am. When God put me and Melanie together, we're alike in a lot of ways, but we are polar opposites in that way. Melanie is loose as a goose, and I'm tight as a... Right, I don't know, I'm tight, and I know that. And I think about things, and I worry about things, and I'm always 10 years in the future planning things and all this stuff, and Melanie ain't got dinner planned. I've got 10 years planned. I'm like, you know... It's how I'm wired, and it drives me crazy. And I thank God that there'll be that none of this stuff that we focus on, it's all going to pass away. It's all going to eventually go away. All your hardships are going to one day go away. All your stress is going to go away. The kids that come back home, they'll eventually go back away. All of that will go away. Your money problems will go away. Your car problems will go away. All of your sickness and all the medical, that'll go away. So while I'm here, I'll celebrate the goodness of God. I'll thank God for every day. And I'll thank God that there'll be a day when I will see him face to face. What a day that'll be when his face I shall see. What a day that's going to be. So I can celebrate life because nothing here is even binding. I'm going to enjoy my marriage. I'm going to enjoy my children. I'm going to enjoy life to the best that I can, realizing, you know what? I'm not stuck here. So I'm going to enjoy it. Now, if I was stuck here, it'd be a different story. There'd be some changing going on up in here. but I'm not stuck here. So I'm like, thank you, Lord. You have made a better way for me. We as Christians should encourage each other and comfort each other with these words, that the Lord himself shall descend and all things will be made new, that we don't stay where we're at. God's got a place prepared for us. He said in John 14, I go prepare a place for you where I am. There you shall be also. He did do that at Calvary. He prepared that place for us. Many, many scriptures confirm and reiterate the eternal life we have in Christ. They reiterate to us that this is not it. And I know some folks don't believe it. Look, for people that say, Pastor, I just believe that when you're dead, you're dead. When you're gone, you're gone. That's it. What was the point of this stinking life then? Can I get amen, Rachel? What was the point of this stinking life? Man, are you serious? Heartache, pain, divorce, tragedy, sickness, bankruptcy? And that's it? Really, God? That's all you got? I mean, let's be real. This life is simply a journey. We're in the worm stage right now, the caterpillar stage. But what does a caterpillar do? It hibernates, whatever you call it. Because it hibernates, it does something. Is that what it's called, hibernate? Cocoon, yeah, thank you. Metamorphosis, thank you. It metamorphosizes. Metamorphosis. And so this ugly worm that nobody wants to, except little boys usually, want to touch or want to look at. They're nasty. Ew, worm, you know, all that. It goes to this stage, the cocoon stage. And then when that time is ended, it comes out a beautiful butterfly that we love to see. It flies, beautiful colors. How could something so ugly become something so beautiful? Because of the hand of God. And that's us. Now the bad news is butterflies don't live long, but we'll live forever. So don't take that part. Butterflies, I mean, we live forever is the only difference. We're a butterfly on steroids. We live forever. But think about that. This earth shell was our worm stage. But then one day we'll be metamorphosized into a beautiful state of the beauty that God intended us to be. Some folks don't believe that. I know that. But think about it, man. There's got to be more to life than this. There are people that even are atheists or don't believe in God or question if God's really real that will seek out these gurus and they'll seek out science and they'll seek out philosophers and they'll seek out psychics to try to find answers. Well, if there's nothing beyond this, what's there to find? Why are they seeking and why are they searching? Because I think every human being knows deep inside there's more than this. I'm thankful there's more than this. I'm thankful there's more than this. There's no place like home. And God has prepared that place for all of us today. Can you sing that song, Homesick? No. Never been this homesick before. You got the chords of that? You can do it. Oh, I did. Oh, we have that. Yeah, find that on the, it's on your computer, Jeremy. I think it's under the eyes. I've never been as homesick under songs. Yes, you can find the word. We'll sing that because that song says it all. Homesick. You young people. I'm in love with you, girl. I'm in love with you, girl. Girl, you know it's true, girl. Ooh. Oh, man. You can't find the words? Oh, she's getting it. Okay. Ushers, come on up this morning. We'll get that handled while we're doing this, and then we'll...
He wants to take up the offering before we...
That's true. That is true. Oh, thank you. That you have prepared for us as you call our name. This is not it. God, there's a greater glory we receive. We thank you that our dear friend Gail is home and all the pain and suffering is gone. He is restored. He is celebrating. Yes. And God, we are thankful that one day we'll be celebrating with him. I pray for the hearts in here today, Lord, that are questioning that future of their lives. They're not sure if that's really true. They're not sure if they belong. They're not sure if they have a share in that promise. God, I pray you speak to their hearts this morning, letting them know, yes, you died for them. You overcame death for them. You made all things new for them, and they too can have everlasting life as they call upon your name and say, Lord, I want what I heard this morning. I want to know I've got a home waiting on me. I want to know, God, I'll be with you forever. I pray they call your name, Lord, and ask you to come into their lives and make you their Lord and Savior. Bless this offering, God. Bless all that's done. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, hang on a minute. Give me specs on this. Is small print for me. All right, go ahead. There's a light in the window, and the table's set in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see a crystal river. Oh, I must be in forever. And I've never been this homesick before. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see the Father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness. I'm headed for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. I can see the family gather. Sweet faces, they're all familiar. But no one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, this lonesome heart is crying. Think I'll spread my wings for flying. Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm headed for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. Bright light shine, it's just about home time. Oh, I can see my father standing at the door. This world is a wilderness. I'm headed for deliverance. Never been this homesick before.
Bro, just say spot anyway.
Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Oh, we're going home, church. Going home.
Do what?
Hank Williams. Well, thank you, darling. I guess. Hank Williams. Senior or junior? Which one, the dad or the son? Hank Williams Jr. or Hank Williams Sr.?
Third.
Junior. Third. Oh, man. Barbie didn't cry, did you? Okay, good. She always cries when I sing. That really hurts my feelings. She tells me that. Every time you sing, I cry. Jewel.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's been there about 7 months. 7 months. And Chris has been to church a couple times here. He's been with us, and he played the drums for us a couple times. Yeah. And he's getting out, and pray that God will just direct his paths and he can have a new life, and God will bless it. Because he'll definitely have some challenges when he comes out. She told me about that. I know. Oh, yeah. Anna keep him in line. Anna's kind of like Mary Poppins. Have you seen the new Mary? Anybody seen the new Mary Poppins movie, the new one that came out? Isn't it good? I think it's great. Two people. Okay. Us and Selena. Okay. Really, y'all? Okay. All right. Well, Anna's like Mary Poppins. She's very sweet and very loving, but she can also tell you what she thinks. Like Mary Poppins, and get firm if she needs to. So she'll be a good one. Chris will he'll be good to her, I'm sure, on the way away in the car. Especially if she wants to eat. Yeah, you'll find a way. But yeah, pray for Chris. He needs some direction. Yes. Eight weeks old. He's having surgery tomorrow. Let's pray for Noah right now, church. Lord, we lift up little Noah to you, this little baby, this gift that you've given this family. We pray, God, you watch over him in surgery tomorrow, that you guide everything that is done by every hand that touches him, that you bring healing, whatever little Noah needs, God, that you make him whole, that you fix what is broken and make him whole, that he lives a long, long, prosperous life that serves you. Lord, use little Noah for your glory as he grows up. Let him know, God, your hand was on him as a child and that you healed him and brought him forth in Jesus' name. Amen.